This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Well, today it happened. Former FBI Director James Comey gave what might be the most highly anticipated political testimony in a generation. And he began his appearance before the Senate Intelligence Committee with the most unfettered criticism we've heard so far from the former FBI chief.
And although the law required no reason at all to fire an FBI director, the administration then chose to defame me and, more importantly, the FBI by saying that the organization was in disarray, that it was poorly led, that the workforce had lost confidence in its leader. Those were lies, plain and simple.
Lies, plain and simple, Comey said. He was also asked repeatedly by senators about details revealed in his written testimony submitted yesterday, specifically about why he took it upon himself to write memos of visits and calls he made with President Trump.
I was honestly concerned that he might lie about the nature of our meeting, and so I thought it really important to document. That combination of things I'd never experienced before, but it led me to believe I got to write it down, and I got to write it down in a very detailed way.
Well, one of the big questions of the day, does James Comey think President Trump told him to end the FBI's Russia investigation, specifically on February 14th, when the president asked Comey to drop the bureau's probe into former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn? Idaho Republican Senator James Reich pressed Comey on the details.
He did not direct you to let it go.
Not in his words, no.
He did not order you to let it go.
Again, those words are not an order.
No. He said, I hope. Now, like me, you probably did hundreds of cases, maybe thousands of cases, charging people with criminal offenses. And, of course, you have knowledge of the thousands of cases out there that where people have been charged. Do you know of any case where a person has been charged for obstruction of justice, or for that matter, any other criminal offense, where they said or thought they hoped for an outcome?
I don't know well enough to answer. And the reason I keep saying his words is I took it as a direction.
Right.
I mean, this is the President of the United States with me alone saying, I hope this. I took it as this is what he wants me to do. Now, I didn't obey that, but that's the way I took it.
You may have taken it as a direction, but that's not what he said.
Correct.
He said, I hope.
Those are exact words.
Okay.
Correct.
That's James Comey there receiving questions from Idaho Republican Senator James Reich. Now, Republican Tom Cotton of Arkansas put the question to Comey even more succinctly.
Do you believe Donald Trump colluded with Russia?
That's a question I don't think I should answer in an open setting.
And then there was the matter of the president tweeting after he had fired Comey that the former FBI director, quote, better hope that there are no tapes of their conversations. Well, today, Comey revealed that it was that very tweet that forced Comey to be his own leak.
President tweeted on Friday after I got fired that I better hope there's not tapes. I woke up in the middle of the night on Monday night because it didn't dawn on me originally that there might be corroboration for our conversation. There might be a tape. And my judgment was I needed to get that out into the public square. And so I asked a friend of mine to share the content of the memo with a reporter. Didn't do it myself for a variety of reasons, but I asked him to because I thought that might prompt the appointment of a special counsel. And so I asked a close friend of mine to do it.
Note that Comey said he hoped that it would prompt the appointment of a special counsel, which of course he did. That person is Robert Mueller. Now, as for the existence of any White House tapes?
I've seen the tweet about tapes. Lordy, I hope there are tapes.
Well, and finally, a point that Comey returned to again and again, the very nature of Russia's interference with the 2016 presidential election. This is big, Comey said. It should not be partisan, he said. A foreign government is actively and continually interfering with the United States. Comey said, quote, that happened, and it's about as unfake as you can possibly get.
There should be no fuzz on this whatsoever. The Russians interfered in our election during the 2016 cycle. They did it with purpose. They did it with sophistication. They did it with overwhelming technical efforts. And it was an active measures campaign driven from the top of that government. There is no fuzz on that. It is a high confidence judgment of the entire intelligence community. And the members of this committee have seen the intelligence. It's not a close call.
Some highlights there from James Comey's highly anticipated testimony today. We're going to hear from a lot of voices with reaction and analysis on this. Let's start with Donald Stern. He's former U.S. attorney for Massachusetts and now managing director of corporate monitoring and consulting services at Affiliated Monitors. Donald Stern, welcome back to you.
Thank you, Magna.
Did you hear anything potentially damaging or not damaging to the president of the United States today in James Comey's testimony?
Well, he provided, I think, a certain amount of substantive color beyond his prepared statement. I don't know that we heard a lot new from what he in his prepared statement. But the one thing that was very clear, because in his prepared statement he had simply referred to the words that the president had used for General Flynn, that the president hoped that Comey could see fit to let Flynn go, or words to that effect. And there was some questioning, some of which you played just in the lead-up a few minutes ago, that trying to describe that as a kind of a softball, a hope. And Director Comey was very clear. This was not kind of a soft hope. This was a directive from the President of the United States in a one-on-one meeting in the Oval Office and one-on-one phone calls. And that's the way Director Comey heard it, and I think, frankly, that's the way most rational people would hear it. The president is essentially telling him, I want you to close this investigation down.
Mm. But do you think that's the way that Congress is going to hear that? Because, of course, this was one point in which multiple senators pushed back on James Comey, saying, you know, the president didn't explicitly say end the investigation into Michael Flynn.
No, that's true. But and I think what Comey was saying, because he was not prepared to answer the ultimate question here, which is, you know, was this obstruction or what did the president intend? I think you have to look at all the circumstances, and I think hopefully that's what Congress will do, and I know that's what Bob Mueller will do, you know, including the president's tweets. It's rare, Magna, in any criminal case, and certainly when you're talking about a potential obstruction case, that the person says, now let me tell you, I want to obstruct justice here. That's what I want to do. That's not the way it works. It's the whole fabric of circumstances. So here you've got the president's own tweets. You've got the direct conversation in the Oval Office and on phone calls. You've got a variety of circumstances. And, of course, ultimately, the firing of James Comey as director of the FBI. So it's not one thing. I don't think you want to parse one conversation, one sentence, one word. The distinction between hope and directive doesn't take place as an abstraction. It takes place against the background of a whole host of circumstances.
I mean, even Comey himself said when he was asked, like, why should we trust his testimony? He said you should look at the body of the work that he's done on this issue and make draw a conclusion from that. But Donald Stern, look, you're a former member of the Department of Justice. I've got to ask you a couple of questions about what Comey revealed about himself and his own actions today. I mean, for example, what do you make of the fact that instead of reading his prepared written statement, which was made public yesterday, he instead began with that very searing indictment of the president and the administration, calling him out for lies and saying that the president defamed Comey and disgraced the FBI?
Well, I have two reactions. First of all, I think probably he was a little bit more forceful and less measured because he's a former rather than a current director of the FBI. So he might have felt, you know, but actually the thing that caught my attention the most is the extent of the frustration and anger that he had and the impact that he thought those statements, you know, that the president, sort of the last justification for firing Comey was he was a poor leader, that the morale was in terrible shape, the FBI is in shambles. And I think it brought home, at least to me, that Trump was essentially protecting, I'm sorry, the Comey was essentially protecting the troops, saying, you are defaming me, but you're also undermining the morale and the credibility of the FBI, and that's important.
Mm. And what about James Comey revealing today that he is the one who provided his own memos? They were unclassified memos, but to a friend who then leaked them to the New York Times in the hopes of triggering the need or the appointment of a special counsel, which is exactly what happened. I mean, it's Comey who got that ball rolling.
Well, I guess you say he told the truth as to what he did. I don't think that was the way to go. I'm not applauding the fact that Jim Comey was the one who leaked it to the press. I think there are probably some other alternatives, including going to Congress and providing that information.
Well, finally, what do you think, what impact do you think what James Comey said today publicly? We don't know what he's going to say in the classified testimony that he's going to give to the Senate Intelligence Committee, but what impact might what we heard today have on Robert Mueller's investigation?
I don't think it's going to have an impact on Mueller's investigation. I think clearly all of the information that Comey said today and much, much more has already been or will be provided to Bob Mueller and his team. I think it was pretty much every member of the committee, Democrat, Republican, led off their questioning with essentially kudos to the career, the credibility, the integrity of Jim Comey. So I think they're going to be hard pressed to disbelieve him. Mm. They may try to characterize some of the words, but I think on balance, I think every member of the committee knows that Jim Comey is a credible witness.
That's Donald Stern. He's former U.S. attorney for Massachusetts, a post he held from 1993 to 2001. Donald Stern, it's always a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Well, let's hear some reaction from President Donald Trump's personal attorney. This is Mark Kasowitz. He spoke just after James Comey completed his public testimony.
Mr. Comey has now finally confirmed publicly what he repeatedly told President Trump privately. That is, that the president was not under investigation as part of any probe into Russian interference.
Let's get further reaction from Kim Alfano. She's a Republican consultant and director of Alfano Communications, and she joins us from just outside of Philadelphia. Kim Alfano, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. So react to all that we heard today. I mean, I just played that tape from the president's personal attorney saying that he believes Comey has basically vindicated Donald Trump.
You only have an hour, right, for the show?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Well, let me go backwards first. I think the attorney is a great character for a movie. I think it's a lot of bluster, and I'm a Republican. I mean, I think he's absolutely correct. Comey did reiterate a few times that he did tell Donald Trump that he was not under investigation. I think that if you're listening for quick sound bites, that's a easily digestible one that will stick. And for those people that aren't truly obsessed, like those of us in Washington and in politics are, you know, watching every second of every minute of it, that will stick with them. And that may be good for Donald Trump. On the backside of that statement, you know, going after Comey individually, I don't think they'll truly go after any legal. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but I don't think they'll truly go after him legally. I think they're just trying to put some sensational bluster out there and muddy up the waters.
Well, I mean, they are trying to go after him. We should say, though, that there is an effort to go after Comey in the court of public opinion, right? I was reading that the RNC some 60 people assigned to this, and we're already seeing PACs putting out ads against James Comey, who is now a private citizen.
Well, I think it's not just James Comey that the Republicans are looking at. I mean, I think it's the entire narrative that's been put out that paints only one bad guy in this. I mean, listen, James Comey may be a wonderful human being, but he wasn't completely without spin in this process. I mean, he came out and started his testimony in a very aggressive and aggravated way. I mean, I think he did that to gain some sound bites and to get some, you know, some spin out there. He wants to have some news made from his testimony that is, you know, from his perspective. And that's how anybody in politics acts. And I think that it's predominantly been weighted against Donald Trump in all of this. And I think he fairly should be out there fighting. So now, whether, you know, going after him on a personal level is okay, probably not. But going after him, you know, in the same way that he goes after the president, that's politics ain't beanbag.
Yeah. So I want to play a little bit of tape here. This is from question and answer that Senator Mark Warner engaged with James Comey on about the nature of the conversation that Comey had with the president in a private dinner in January. It's one that he outlined in yesterday's written statement, where the president allegedly asked Comey about his loyalty.
And the president begins by wanting to talk about my job. And so I'm sitting there thinking, wait a minute, three times you've already asked me to stay or talked about me staying. My common sense, again, I could be wrong, but my common sense told me what's going on here is he's looking to get something in exchange for granting my request to stay in the job.
And again, we all understand, I was a governor, I had people work for me, but this constant request, and again, quoting you, him saying that he, despite you explaining your independence, he kept coming back to, I need loyalty, I expect loyalty. Had you ever had any of those kind of requests before from anyone else you'd worked for in the government?
No. And what made me uneasy was, I'm, at that point, the director of the FBI. The reason that Congress created a 10-year term is so that the director is not feeling as if they're serving at with political loyalty owed to any particular person. The statue of justice has a blindfold on because you're not supposed to be peeking out to see whether your patron is pleased or not with what you're doing. It should be about the facts and the law. That's why I was, that's why I became FBI director, to be in that kind of position. So that's why I was so uneasy.
That's James Comey there answering questions from Senator Mark Warner. Kim Alfano, I think there's, you know, there's multiple constituents here to think of. How is an exchange like that going to be read by the president's base?
Well, I think it's a complicated thing for the president's base. I mean, they want to like him, and they've already, I think, given him a pass on his bluster and his bravado, and that's kindly stating it, I guess. They've already given him a pass. They know, you know, those of them that have appreciated him for his policy or his what he outlines as what he wants to get done have said, we don't care if you're a jerk. We don't care if we don't want to have a beer with you. We want you to do what you said you're going to do. And I think this kind of thing, while it's, again, good TV, good for some sound bites, in 18 months, it's not going to be what people are going to look back on and make a decision on. What they're going to make a decision on is, did you actually cut my taxes? Did you get me a job? Did you make my health care more affordable? And if we don't get things like that done, then we're in trouble. This kind of back and forth, if it doesn't rise to any illegality that's ever proven, is just... it's just, you know, show. It's just drama.
Well, so that's why I said there's multiple constituencies to think about here, right? There are the president's voters, but then there are also Republicans in Congress. How do you think they read what happened today? I mean, I got a sense that at least, you know, that the Senate had some fair and bipartisan questioning here. But there were some senators who were also trying to, I don't know, move the goalposts in terms of what could be not necessarily legally, but politically construed as obstruction.
I agree. I mean, I think that it will come down to, and again, I'm a media consultant, not a lawyer, so I have no earthly idea what constitutes legal and illegal in this case. But I think it will come down to a smoking gun or an indictment or a conviction of some sort before Congress, before anyone outside of this sort of insular beltway or political bubble starts to feel it. I think that because of the nature of Donald Trump, where he's drip, drip, drip drama every single day, it's hard to maintain outrage every single day. You can't have your hair on fire every single day. So you sort of become jaded to it until there's something that's truly provable. And I think Congress, you know, again, they're going to live or die by whether they can get what they want done. I mean, I do have many clients that are in Congress, and they, you know, they have their head down and they're pushing forward, trying to get, you know, regulations taken off. They're trying to get tax laws passed. They're trying to get jobs created. They're trying to fix health care reform. And if they know that they live or die by that,
right,
whether they get one of those things done or not.
Right. Well, Kim Alfano is a Republican consultant and director of Alfano Communications. Kim, can you stand by with us for a minute? We got to take a quick break here.
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So we're talking about James Comey's intense testimony today. I think it's some of the most anticipated political testimony we've heard in a generation. We're going to get a lot more views on this when we come back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. We'll be back. Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We are talking about former FBI Director James Comey's testimony today before the Senate Intelligence Committee. Let's hear another highlight here. This is Senator Ron Wyden, Democrat of Oregon, asking James Comey about not only the President of the United States, but other members of Donald Trump's administration.
The acting Attorney General Yates found out that Michael Flynn could be blackmailed by the Russians, and she went immediately to warn the White House. Flynn is gone, but other individuals with contacts with the Russians are still in extremely important positions of power. Should the American people have the same sense of urgency now with respect to them?
I think all I can say, Senator, is the special counsel's investigation is very important. Understanding what efforts there were or are by the Russian government to influence our government is a critical part of the FBI's mission. So, and you've got the right person in Bob Mueller to lead it. So it's a very important piece of work.
That's an exchange there between Democrat Ron Wyden and James Comey a little earlier today. We've been joined by Kim Alfano. She's a Republican consultant and director of Alfano Communications. And also joining us now is Senator Richard Blumenthal. He is the senior senator from Connecticut and a Democrat. Senator Blumenthal, welcome to Radio Boston.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
It's great to have you. So tell me, did you come away from hearing James Comey's public testimony with any concerns, or do you feel that the questions that you had were satisfied?
I came away with greatly deepened and enhanced concerns because Jim Comey presented a picture that was chilling. It was riveting of a president abusing power and putting himself above the law. The order from the president to shut down the investigation of Michael Flynn went to the Russian investigation, that is, the inquiry into Russian interference in our election, which threatened our democracy, as well as potential Trump campaign collusion with it, and amounted to evidence of obstruction of justice.
Evidence of that? I mean, because other senators on the Intelligence Committee, you know, drove home the point that James Comey admitted all the president said was that he hoped that Comey could let it go. And hope isn't necessarily strictly saying, I direct you to do so.
Any experienced prosecutor, and I've been a prosecutor, knows that words are important in the context they're used. When a president has demanded a pledge of loyalty, when he asks everybody to leave the room and then sits down the chief law enforcement investigative officer in the Department of Justice and says, please make the Flynn investigation go away, I hope using that word becomes very different in meaning than Donald Trump looking in the mirror and saying to himself or saying to a member of his staff who has no responsibility for criminal investigations, gee, I hope that investigation goes away.
Senator Blumenthal, let me just jump in here. I mean, am I hearing you say that you think that what you heard today from James Comey in his public testimony is adequate for Congress to write up articles of impeachment for the president?
No, you're not hearing that at all.
Okay.
I very carefully, as did James Comey, used the word evidence. It is evidence. It is not conclusive in establishing a case of obstruction of justice, as Jim Comey said so well. That's the call of the special prosecutor to make. And there must be additional evidence, which is being pursued right now as we speak by that special counsel. And I am going to call for the Attorney General of the United States, Jeff Sessions, and his deputy, Rod Rosenstein, to come before the Judiciary Committee to offer additional evidence in public under oath as to why they failed to safeguard the integrity of the FBI when it was threatened in this way. And they will have to answer about potential conversations with the Russians, which Jeff Sessions had, and other facts, which also reflect on this investigation.
Mm. Well, let me play one more piece of tape here for you, Senator Blumenthal. This is an exchange between Senator Susan Collins, Republican of Maine, and she asked James Comey specifically about statements that he made to the president and to Congress again in his written testimony yesterday, where he talked about the fact that there were no specific counterintelligence investigations of the president. And Senator Collins was looking for clarification there.
I'm trying to understand whether there was any kind of investigation of the president underway.
No, I'm sorry. And if I misunderstood, I apologize. We briefed the congressional leadership about what Americans we had opened counterintelligence investigation cases on, and we specifically said the president is not one of those Americans, but that there was no other investigation of the president that we were not mentioning at that time. What the context was counterintelligence, but I wasn't trying to hide some criminal investigation of the president.
And was the president under investigation at the time of your dismissal on May 9th?
No.
Senator Richard Blumenthal, react to that, because it seems as if that, you know, that is that corroborates what President Trump has been saying, that he is not and was not under investigation by the FBI.
Well, it's important to draw a distinction. He was not, perhaps, as Jim Comey said today. Whether he is now is an issue for the special prosecutor to answer. And Jim Comey was very clear in a later answer to say he couldn't know whether the president is under investigation now. But whether he was then or not, Jim Comey was fired because the president wanted to change the course of the Russian investigation. That's almost a direct quote from Comey. And as he said, I'm taking the president at his word. He fired him because of the Russia thing. And he later said to, as a matter of fact, a few Russians in the Oval Office, I'm paraphrasing, I feel relieved now of the pressure of this investigation.
Yeah.
So there are accumulating facts and evidence. There's no single fact here that is dispositive, and the special prosecutor has to pursue all of these facts to draw a conclusion. I'm not drawing any right now. I am calling for Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, and Rod Rosenstein to appear before the Judiciary Committee and tell their story. And I also think Jim Comey ought to be subpoenaed to the Judiciary Committee as well.
Do you suggest a timeline for those subpoenas or a deadline for that testimony to be given?
I hope it will be as soon as possible, in a matter of days or weeks.
Mm. Well, in fact, James Comey today, just to reiterate what you were saying earlier, he said very clearly to Senator Jack Reed of Rhode Island, he said, I was fired to change the way the Russia investigation was conducted. That is a very big deal. Senator Richard Blumenthal, a Democrat from Connecticut, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
Kim Alfano, let me turn back to you, Republican consultant there. I mean, you just heard Senator Blumenthal saying he wants to expand the amount of testimony and get people before the Judiciary Committee. What could be the potential impact of that?
Well, I think even Donald Trump said, you know, if any of my satellite, what did he call them, satellites are involved, which is kind of an interesting term. If any of my satellite associates are involved, he said, Comey said, he told him, investigate them. So I think it depends on how you're hearing this. And I would expect nothing less of a former prosecutor and a very loyal Democrat than what he said. And I think that they'll probably move forward on that. But I think, again, it's in the ears of the beholder. Donald Trump would hear what Comey said today as he was relieved because Comey told him three times he was exonerated and was not under investigation, not exonerated, but not under investigation. Donald Trump would say, I told Comey that I thought I'm a loyal guy. Flynn was a friend, is a good man. And I hope that you will see fit not to, I don't have his exact words, but not to throw him under the bus, basically.
Yeah.
And Comey took it one way, but Donald Trump, I think, you know, he's a New York kind of bully, the kid you want to slap on the playground. But I don't know if he's done something illegal. And I think until somebody proves something illegal, this will roll off him. He's kind of the negative Teflon president.
Well, we're going to speak to a former federal judge here in just a minute or two about the legal questions here. But, I mean, Kim Alfano, you made the point earlier that you're a Republican media consultant. And I want to leverage your expertise on that point here for just a second, because I want to play a little bit of tape, again, from the Comey testimony today. I counted three, possibly four times, maybe more, where James Comey went out of his way to emphasize, and I think he was speaking directly to the American people at this time, about how important and huge and deep he sees Russian interference in the 2016 election and why that should matter to everyone. And here's what he said in an exchange. Again, this is Comey, but it was doing an exchange with West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin.
The reason this is such a big deal is we have this big, messy, wonderful country where we fight with each other all the time, but nobody tells us what to think, what to fight about, what to vote for, except other Americans. And that's wonderful and often painful, but we're talking about a foreign government that, using technical intrusion and lots of other methods, tried to shape the way we think, we vote, we act. That is a big deal.
Now, Kim Alfano, I fully understand that James Comey is compromised politically with Democrats. He's compromised politically with Republicans. But when the former director of the FBI says several times, this is a big deal, do you think that has resonance with President Trump's most passionate base?
I think it can, but I think it's sort of separate in their minds. I mean, listen, Comey, he's an impassioned speaker. He's quite a showman. He knows how to use the press, and he did there. But I think what they're making the mistake of is at the same time, you're hearing that, and you're hearing that Donald Trump had nothing to do with it, if you're boiling this down in your brain. You also heard him say that it's hundreds, if not over 1,000 different organizations in the country that were attacked by cyber terrorism, by Russian cyber terrorism. So you put that all together, and it doesn't just equal Donald Trump bad, you know, should be out of office. It equals Russians bad. Donald Trump doesn't have anything to do with it, potentially. And, you know, and then you get into this murky, complicated world of what it means when cyber terrorism hits America via the Russians. And I think that's a complicated thing for people to understand. Yeah, we all agree it's bad. But I think he muddies if he's attempting to say the president needs to be investigated, we need to know whether or not he had anything to do with it. At the same time, he says, but we weren't investigating him three times.
Right.
And that it's people around him. I think it muddies his own story. And I think if you're just the regular guy who just dropped your kids off at their last day of school and you're listening to this on the radio before you go to your job, that's a lot of muddy stuff out there to try to put together. And, you know, you can selectively pick it any different way you want.
Yeah. Kim Alfano, Republican media consultant. Hang on here for just a second, because
sure.
I want to bring in Judge Nancy Gertner. She is a retired federal judge. She served in the District of Massachusetts. She's a Harvard Law School professor and WBUR's legal analyst. Judge Gertner, it's great to have you back.
Nice to be here.
So many political, media, but most importantly, legal questions here. Did you hear anything today in James Comey that you think should be potentially concerning for the president?
You know, first of all, I want to say that even if he hasn't been under investigation, counterintelligence investigation, what we've heard today suggests that he is now. In other words, Bob Mueller is now investigating the president, it sounds like, for obstruction of justice.
Right.
And he's doing so because of the words he said, which, again, the standard for obstruction of justice is, are these words or these acts naturally and probably going to lead to interference with the due administration of justice? And what's significant here, and Comey said this even more in his testimony, is that here's someone who is a senior law enforcement official in three administrations. So he took these words not abstractly. He said, I took it as a direction. Mm-hmm. He's the president of the United States. In a sense, Comey is saying that these were words that were the natural and probable consequence of which was to stop the investigation. Comey says he doesn't share it with he shares it with his senior leadership staff, but it doesn't go beyond that because he thinks these words will actually stop the investigation. And so there is certainly enough here to begin to begin an investigation for obstruction of justice. The question, was this an inadvertent comment of the president? Criminal law requires a certain intentionality, and here a corrupt intent. the conversations takes place when essentially the president has shooed everyone out of the room,
right,
including the attorney general. But let me say one other thing, by the way.
Well, I was just going to just because I mean we don't have this tape necessarily because there was so much to talk about with Comey. But he did say several times he basically said, why would the president have asked everybody, including, you know, James Comey's boss, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, to leave the room if there wasn't some kind of questionable intent? He does actually say that a couple of times during his testimony today.
Right. And he took it that way. But then, you know, when the president's supporters want to talk about how he, you know, three times said that the president wasn't under investigation, I want to ask the question, or perhaps of the prosecutors who you talked to, he is asking to shut down the Flynn investigation. Why? Why, of all the things, the investigations that are swirling around, what does that connote? What is Flynn going to say? What does Flynn have on the president? Why would you do that? Because he's a nice guy? Why would he go out of his way in that regard? I mean, that, it seems to me, is a central issue here. But I agree with Senator Blumenthal that this is an opening wedge. This is certainly very problematic. This is a president who has not paid attention to any boundaries. So I'm not surprised if there will be others to whom he has said comparable things.
Judge Gertner, stand by for just a second because we got to take a break here. So I'm going to do that. And Kim Alfano, Republican consultant as well, hang on as well. We're going to take a break and we will be right back. We're talking about James Comey's testimony before the Senate Intelligence Committee. Back in about 90 seconds. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We are talking about the public testimony that former FBI Director James Comey gave today before the Senate Intelligence Committee. We're joined by Kim Alfano. She's a Republican media consultant and director of Alfano Communications. She's speaking to us today from just outside of Philadelphia. And also with us today from Washington is Judge Nancy Gertner. She's WBUR's legal analyst and a retired federal judge and current professor at Harvard Law School as well. I want to just play a couple of bits of tape here again from Comey's testimony and some response that we heard. This first you can hear is James Comey himself. He's responding to Senator Mark Warner of Virginia, a Democrat who's also the vice chair of the Intelligence Committee. Warner had asked Comey about his impression of why President Trump had invited him, Comey, to a private dinner. Again, this is one of the meetings that Comey had described in detail in the written testimony that he submitted yesterday. And here's what Comey said.
My common sense told me that what was going on is either he had concluded or someone had told him that you've already asked Comey to stay and you didn't get anything for it. And that the dinner was an effort to build a relationship. In fact, he asked specifically of loyalty in the context of asking me to stay.
And in fact, that was the dinner in which the president, Comey says the president asked him, I need loyalty, I want your loyalty. And Comey initially said, I can give you my honesty. Well, we got some response here after Comey testified today from President Trump's personal attorney, Mark Kasowitz.
The president also never told Mr. Comey, quote, I need loyalty, I expect loyalty, close quote. He never said it in form. And he never said it in substance.
Kim Alfano, I want to turn to you quickly on that. Do you believe the president's personal attorney?
You know, I would say I would err with Donald Trump that he was in his mind on his own reality TV show. And I can hear him saying those words, maybe channeling The Godfather. I don't think that Donald Trump necessarily had criminal intent on his mind with what he was doing. I think he honestly just sees himself in a wholly different light than politicians of, you know, are used to, and just works in a wholly different way. And in his mind, he was being kind of that, you know, dark and scary, maybe bullying kind of guy.
Okay,
I don't see him as pushing him to be, you know, he wasn't going to fire the guy, or I don't know. I don't think it was drama versus illegality.
So let me turn to Judge Gertner on that, because, of course, I mean, one of the things that has defined President Trump, you know, of course, even as a candidate, but especially now as a president, is that he does work in his own way. But the question now is that way appropriate, legal, politically viable for the presidency? Judge Gertner.
It is not the remotest defense that he is incompetent at the job and doesn't respect the boundaries of the FBI and the office. It's not a defense. If his intent, he may not have understood that he was violating the law. Ignorance of the law is no defense. But that he understood that he was pressuring the FBI, who had a 10-year term, seems clear. I also think it's so interesting to say that he was channeling the Godfather and there was nothing illegal about that. Now, that's an interesting comment. But really, the law is saying, did he intend by his words to affect the due administration of justice? And I don't see how it could be interpreted any other way. If it was an isolated comment, you know, on the way walking to a meeting, it would be one thing. This was an intentional meeting set up specifically after other people had been in the room and Comey was the only one, and he asked Comey to stay. It's in the context, frankly, of his comments after Comey was fired and fired for the Russian investigation. Again, this is circumstantial evidence of obstruction of justice. But in my years on the bench and before that as a lawyer, people get convicted on circumstantial evidence of obstruction of justice. Mm.
Judge Gertner, hang on, and Kim Alfano, hang on for just a second, because I want to get a quick view from Congress itself. Matt Visor is Deputy Washington Bureau Chief for the Boston Globe to give us a little political analysis here. Matt, it's good to have you back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I mean, it's been quite a day. what do you think the impact of what Comey said today is going to have on next steps in the congressional investigations into the Trump campaign and Russia?
I mean, I think it's significant. You had kind of indications from Comey's testimony, just like all the tentacles of this investigation. Comey was offering names of other people who could corroborate some of what he was saying. He alluded to Jeff Sessions and some other sort of problematic aspects of his Russian ties that maybe have not yet come out.
Well, I mean, in fact, we had Richard Blumenthal just a couple of minutes ago on our show, a senator from Connecticut, saying he wants Sessions to appear before the Judiciary Committee now.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that this was the previews of what else we're going to see. Comey was much more of a willing person testifying. He cooperated with the committee. You might see some others being a little bit less enthusiastic about appearing before Congress to offer their own testimony because they're, frankly, currently in the administration. But you could see from some of the things that Comey was saying that this is more the start than the ending of anything.
Hmm. And Matt, what did you make of the fact that Comey revealed that he was his own leak that actually ended up prompting, as he had hoped, the appointment of a special prosecutor?
I mean, it sort of shows how canny of an operator that James Comey is. He knows how Washington works in a way that sometimes, frankly, President Trump doesn't. And Comey knew that sort of drip, drip, drip aspect of the things that Comey had in his memos and from his own conversations would build that public case or continue to fuel the case for a special counsel, which ultimately was Bob Mueller. So I think that it just showed how Comey is very familiar with the way that the press works and with the material that Comey had.
He
knew that it was explosive and he knew how to use it in a way that would achieve the result that he wanted it to achieve.
Matt Visor, Deputy Washington Bureau Chief for the Boston Globe. It's always great to have you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Kim Alfano, I know we have to let you go here in a second, but I'm curious, as in your capacity as a Republican consultant, I mean, where do you think the mind or the strategy of folks, like the Senate Majority Leader, like House Speaker Paul Ryan, are right now in the wake of Comey's testimony?
I think that if I was advising them, I would say keep quiet, keep working on, you know, the laws we want to pass and the issues. And 18 months is far away. You got to get something done by then. So keep your head down and, you know, say as little as possible and get away with it, because in 3 days, this will be old news and we'll be on to the next thing.
Such are the times we live in. We'll see if that's the advice they follow and if they do get away with it. Kim Alfano, Republican consultant and director of Alfano Communications, thank you so much.
Hey, anytime. It's great.
So I want to play one more piece of tape here, Judge Gertner, before we wrap up. It's going to be from Senator Martin Heinrich. Again, he's a Democrat from New Mexico, and he was asking Comey what the former FBI director saw in the course of his involvement with the FBI's Russia investigation that made Comey lead to the conclusion that what the Russian interference was very, very serious in terms of the 2016 election. And here is how James Comey responded.
There should be no fuzz on this whatsoever. The Russians interfered in our election during the 2016 cycle. They did it with purpose. They did it with sophistication. They did it with overwhelming technical efforts. And it was an active measures campaign driven from the top of that government. There is no fuzz on that. It is a high confidence judgment of the entire intelligence community, and the members of this committee have seen the intelligence. It's not a close call. That happened. That's about as unfake as you can possibly get.
As about unfake as you can possibly get, says James Comey. I mean, perhaps this is more of a political question, Judge Gertner, but I'm curious about your take on this. I found it remarkable that James Comey 3 or 4 times went out of his way to make this point that the Russian interference is a big deal.
Well, the notion that he has to say it says something very troubling. It cannot, when you're talking about something that sort of struck at the integrity of our electoral process, our national electoral process, as your previous speaker, you know, it may be that legislation will be passed and, you know, but we should not be forgetting this. And this is really going to the core of the democracy. This is not, and I think that's what he's saying. You know, there may be other things that come down the pike. The president may be successful in all sorts of other ways, but this was a critical thing to investigate. Flynn is obviously a critical part of that investigation. The president was directing him not to pursue the part against Flynn. And it was really a way of saying that not only is the investigation a big deal, but what the president was saying was not dealing with a parking ticket. Mm-hmm. It was dealing with what was a critical part of that very investigation.
I'm struggling with a little bit about how much we can read into what Comey said publicly, because he also is giving a classified testimony to the Senate Intelligence Committee today. I mean, so when Republican Tom Cotton of Arkansas asked Comey directly, "Do you believe President Donald Trump colluded with the Russians?" and Comey responded, "I can't respond to that in an open setting." I mean, is it one of those things that is significant or not?
Well, when he said that the president was not, there was not an open investigation on counterintelligence, that was certainly in connection with, you know, this as they say, the dodgy dossier, which had talked about the president. The president's aides are involved. I think that the president's aides are involved. They know that some people in the Trump campaign were somehow involved. So it sounds like there's more there that meets the eye. But again, I keep on going back to, why would it matter to President Trump to stop the Flynn investigation?
Judge Gertner, we've just got about 40 seconds left here. I'm curious about what you think about this. Is what we heard today confirmation or not that what's going on, is it as big as Watergate?
It could be. So on the one hand, there's the language that was overheard by Nixon on the tapes, mm-hmm. That suggested obstruction of justice, paying people off. Then there was the underlying conduct, which was Nixon's fingerprints on the Watergate break-in. So we have one part of it now. The question is whether there are Trump's fingerprints on the Russian collusion. Right. And that's the part we don't know.
Nancy Gertner, retired federal judge. She served in the District of Massachusetts. She's WBUR's legal analyst and a professor at Harvard Law School. Thank you so much, Judge Gertner.
Thank you.
That's it for today. More coverage of James Comey coming up on All Things Considered. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.